Am I doing this right?
How many snacks has he had today?
No, please do not eat the dog food.
I think he peed on the floor.
What do we make this kid for lunch today?
Can you say dada?
Can you say mama?
Will I ever sleep again? Well, butter my buns, it's time for a podcast. Welcome to Probably Okay Parenting.
Butter your buns?
Well, I mean, only if you want to.
Are you making, what does that mean?
I don't know. I was just coming up with some kind of... I was trying to switch it up on him, you know, because it's like season two of Probably Okay Parenting.
Oh, so you're changing up the intro. I think we might be able to do better than Butter My Buns, but who am I to say? Welcome to Probably Okay Parenting.
Hooter, my cooter. It's time for a podcast.
Season two.
2.0. Coming
you
to you live.
That. I didn't know that was a thing.
That it's season two?
Yeah.
Well,
since when?
We have to come up with some like reason that we haven't recorded in the last month. So I figured that's a good reason.
Yeah,
we
just like,
oh, you know what? We was taking time off because we had to get with the writers in the writers' room.
It's the writers' strike, actually.
But then the writers' strike happened.
And so we're just doing the best we can. We stand with the writers.
We were trying to release a podcast 2 weeks ago, but WGA and like it was like a whole thing.
It got complicated.
It was a whole thing.
We're so happy to be back.
I'm very happy to be back.
This is Probably Okay Parenting, where we talk about our adventures as new parents. How long are you new parents?
That's like, how many times can you meet someone? You know, like, oh yeah, I just met them. Oh yeah, I met them again. Like, what do you mean? We're new parents.
No. Met someone, you meet them once. That's a horrible analogy.
But people do say that. People say, oh yeah.
No one says that.
Really?
Yep.
We're already going to start. Anyway,
new parents? I don't think we're new parents.
No, we're definitely not new parents. I would say I'll say a year. You're new parents for a year. And I think that's generous.
Okay, so we
and that
are...
That is as peak generosity as I get.
Yes, that's true. Thank you. We accept your generosity. So we are 21 months in. And I got to tell you, sometimes I forget the months, man. And I don't know.
Well, I do want to just call you out here because definitely... Pop Commerce will remember that in previous episodes, you're like, I don't go by months.
I just say he's one.
He's like 2 years. But then whenever people ask you, you're like, okay, let's see. Well, he was 20. He's 22 months.
21.
Just say he's almost two.
Yeah. Or I'll just say he's one. The problem is he's so giant that people are like, what?
Yeah.
One?
Hold on. What? I thought he was driving over
okay.
Here.
So anyway, we've got a 21-month-old, and we like to talk about it into a mic.
Well, that, I mean, you're right. Not super frequently, but yes.
No, every once in a while.
We love to do it. Every once in a while.
For those of you who have been reaching out incessantly asking where the new pod is, we're sorry, but for the aforementioned reasons.
Mm-hmm. You can look forward. Let's just say you can look forward to a whole summer series of
a lot of summer content. Yeah.
And I want to make sure I overpromise and say we're probably going to record at least like 2-3 podcasts a week now.
Whoa, for the summer. I think by the end of the summer, we should triple our listenership. Do you think that's a good goal?
3 to 9.
Wow, bro. No, JK, we got a lot.
I don't know if you've looked at our recent numbers.
Well,
I haven't looked in like a couple of weeks, but it does seem like the numbers are kind of consistent. I'll say that, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe it's possible. The one thing I think that is really hard about like growing your listenership, and this is just really hard, and it's you have to actually release a podcast.
You have to actually do the thing.
You have to do the thing that you're recruiting people towards.
You can't just be like,
hey, y'all, I got this podcast. Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, the last episode was recorded in 2014.
Yeah, so anyway, you want to give us a little recap? Recap.
Yes, I would love to. So it's been a month, you know, and when you have a 21 month old,
wow,
a lot changes in 1 month.
So much.
For me, I feel like the biggest recap is just like this guy is, I'm going to sound like every parent ever, but he's really getting so big and the developmental milestones are huge. So like, today I was being silly, mm-hmm. and he said, funny, dada. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy fucking shit. I cannot believe he just said that.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not just that he said those words. He like had the thought and then he like vocalized it. So just very, very cool. Yeah, we had finished out our music class. That went really well. And now we're just looking to the summer. You know, school's coming to an end here. And it's a very exciting time. That's kind of it as far as just like recap. I feel like, you know, even a month went by. It's really just the excitement of every day with this child is awesome. And I'm really looking forward to nice weather and really getting him out there. Because, you know, last summer he was not even one yet. So
right.
We couldn't
it's a big
really,
difference like, with the playground.
Yeah, exactly.
And
we couldn't really go to the playground. And now I feel like he's holding his own some, you know. So that's pretty awesome. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, everything you said, every day, it's like he knows more words, he can do more stuff, which is really fun. And the playground is a totally different ball game. I think
for
we've talked about that on previous episodes, but a lot more activities. And, you know, you and I were having a conversation earlier and we kind of stopped and said, let's save it for the pod. So we were just talking about like...
That's how you know we're back in the swing of things.
I know.
When you and I are like, actually, never mind. Let's just wait till later.
Pod. So... Like a lot of our friends with kids around the same age are starting to talk about potty training. And I was definitely one before we had him to think like, I want to potty train early. I want to jump on it. I have a friend who says like, you know, 14 to 18 months is like the best time. So it's like, I'm going to be one of those.
Isn't that like a thing with Europeans as well?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think Americans potty train the latest of like any country.
Stupid Americans.
Yeah, exactly. So I was definitely in that mindset, but now that we're here where we actually could kind of start, cause he is showing some signs, I'm surprised to say that I'm not eager at all.
Why?
Okay. I will tell you, first of all, I don't mind diapers. I mean,
great. Oh, well, thank you so much for saying that. I am done changing diapers.
Yes. And they don't bother me. I think it's very convenient and easy. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm so sick of changing diapers. I don't really mind. I think it's easy. Two, I'm stressed out, not by the process. I know the process is frustrating, but I'm sort of stressed out by the idea of like being out somewhere. And he says like, I have to potty, and then you have to drop everything and like immediately try and find a potty and it run. And it's this big stressful thing. Cause it's like this time crunch. That sounds so stressful.
I feel you, but at the same time, like, you know, we always call our child the boy who cried poo poo because he's always like poo poo. And then we're like, we check and it's like bone dry in there. But
right. He does I
feel that anxiety that you're talking about whenever like I'll pick him up from daycare and then on the way home, he's like poo poo. And I'm like, oh God, I got to get like home quickly so that I can like change him because I don't want him like sitting in this poo.
Oh, and that's only a 10 minute drive.
Yeah. And like 9 times out of 10, he has not actually pooped.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't agree with you on that. I'm really looking forward to potty training.
Oh, well, great. Thank you so much for volunteering to take on that process.
I'm happy to take on that process if you're happy to take on every single diaper for the rest of his childhood.
Well, you're
going to
be so
be
successful that there won't be any other diaper.
Oh, that's true.
But
I mean,
yeah,
for me,
I mean, that sounds like a beautiful trade.
Okay. I mean, for me, obviously that comes with him learning how to use a bidet.
Great.
Go for
it.
You know, all those sorts of fun things. Spraying some poopery. Anyway, you know, poopery. It's like the spray stuff to make it not smell.
I've never heard of that in my life.
They're not a sponsor, everyone. Anyway, yeah. So we are looking forward to your tips if you have them. I know people have a lot of potty training tips and everything. You know, people have a lot of different techniques and things that work for their kid. I think what we're probably going to do is do one of those, you know, plastic toilet deals. And
when do you want to start that though?
Well, okay, let me throw this out there to every, I mean, I think next week would be the best time to start it.
Next week? Are you insane?
Dear listeners, I'm so sorry. As you longtime listeners know, there's always at least one or two moments where Allison says,
next
you know
week.
What? I'm going to take this opportunity to blow out everybody's eardrums.
Anyway, no, we need way more planning, guys.
Okay, so the only piece of planning that I'm not 100% on, and I think I know the answer, is like my inclination is to literally put that plastic toilet like outside in the grass so that he can just like go outside, take a shit. We just fucking dump it out, hose it out, and then we're done. But
What?
I think, you know, everyone says you got to put it in the actual bathroom so that he knows to like go to the bathroom.
Okay,
to
dear listeners, let us know what you think about Brian's go outside in the backyard method.
Well,
I'd
no,
love
no, no, no. I'm
hear.
Taking the toilet out there. I'm not just going to dig a hole for him and say, hey, buddy, good luck.
Every
I'll
time
be
he
inside.
Has to him, you're going to go in the backyard.
Well, it's summertime.
This sounds weird.
It's summertime. I'm not going to go in the backyard.
He's not the
I'm
going
to say, hey, buddy, you go on out there with Lucy the dog and, you know, she'll show you what to do out there.
Wow. You said Lucy's name. We're supposed to be protecting her identity.
Oh boy.
All right. And the other transition that some people are starting to talk about is transitioning into a toddler bed.
Oh, I have so many feelings about this, and I know that we're going to disagree because I heard you telling someone earlier and
yeah.
I was like,
no, crib for life.
For life. Anyway, the thing, okay, lot of reasons that I am so anxious to get out of a crib, and I'll be very quick because I know, you know, you're going to be much more detailed in your approach to this, but for me, it comes down to two things, mm-hmm. maybe three. One, just my back, like after I put him down two or three nights in a row, that's mm-hmm. it, that's it. Like I can't do more than three nights in a row.
Right.
Otherwise my back is beyond messed up.
That's hilarious that you think you're putting him to bed three nights in a row ever, but okay, continue.
Oh yeah, that is funny. Like I'm trying to think who put him down last night and the night before and the night before, but anyway.
I don't know that that's quite accurate, but
pretty sure it's accurate. But anyway, I digress. So
yeah, you do.
The other reason is because, you know, for me, like when I've been doing some research on this, I think there's a variety of obviously products out there to help transition and all that. One product that I really like is, it's like a Japanese floor mattress, like futon type deal. Mm-hmm. But it goes on the floor. So there's no like crib or anything like that. And apparently kids make a really easy transition because it's just like right there on the ground. Mm-hmm. And the third, so I'm just excited for that transition. I think that'll be cool. Now, the third reason, and this is totally selfish, I've just had this like sort of vision of like, you know, being able to jump into bed with him and like not jump on the bed. But for instance, like right now when I get him up in the morning, he's been like playing this game with me where I'll go in. And as soon as he sees me, he immediately like falls down and he's like, night, night. And it's a game. And then he always like points to the mattress and says like night, night, meaning he wants me to get in the crib with him.
Yeah.
So I've done that a couple times and this is really more for the listeners as far, but I was in there doing that and playing that game with him. And then you came in once recently and you were telling me like from your perspective, because obviously I couldn't see this.
Yeah, from my vantage point.
The whole
point,
entire thing was like dipping.
Sagging. It was like,
you know,
going to touch the floor.
It's got like him and he's like 165 pounds. And then it's got me.
You like 36 pounds.
36 pounds. So then, you know, it's it was just like, dang.
Probably more than it's built to hold.
Yeah.
At once.
So
yeah.
I just look forward to being able to like lay in bed with him at night, read a book, like that kind of thing. I think will be really, really fun.
Okay.
All right. Tell me, why are you pro crib, aka pro crib for life.
For life,
said.
Yes. Crib and diaper for life. Maybe this is just, I just want a baby forever and, you know, that's my issue. But no, I feel like so many issues come up when you transition to a bed. I've heard all
like
the
sleep
issues. Yes.
Well, what's really cool about that is we've never fucking got over any sleep issues because this guy won't stop waking up at 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. So.
Okay, but I don't even think that scratches the surface of the issues that come up when you move to a bed.
Like attachment stuff?
Well, just like getting up all the time, anytime.
Oh,
and going
like
to
he
the
legit
door.
Can just get up.
Yes.
I don't mind that.
And like screaming at the door for us to open to let him out.
Oh, well, how do you know if he's just screaming at the door that it's for us to let him out?
Well, like clawing at the door, trying to get out.
No. Okay, clawing at the door.
You know what I mean.
That's extreme.
It sounds scary.
Okay.
So, crib, diapers, I'm going to go as long as I possibly can.
Any other reasons for the crib, why you're really holding on to the crib? Or you just don't want him to have any autonomy?
No. I just think it's like secure for them to be in a crib, and once you take that away, it's scary.
You can't take that away from him.
Wow, we're getting a little bonus
yeah.
today. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else you want to recap? I just want to say one thing is that we went to a birthday party today, and it was an outdoor birthday party, and it was 30 minutes away. It was a DFP child. I don't think the birthday girl is a DFP quite yet. She's turning three.
She's like, you guys run my favorite podcast.
Yes. And we're 10 minutes into the ride, and I realized I didn't put any shoes on our child.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It, and they live, like, not terribly far.
30 minutes.
30 minutes, but certainly.
And we're already 22 minutes later than when I wanted to leave.
It doesn't help that he was blowing out our eardrums.
Well, we're
going
to get to that, I think, in our
lawn.
Next segment. But the point is, I heard this exact phenomenon on a different parenting podcast.
Phenomenon.
One that I really like. Recently, they were talking about they were going to the aquarium or something. You know, one of those evil places. And they were almost there and they realized they didn't have shoes for their daughter. So they had to go to like Walmart and get shoes. So I think that's just like a parenting rite of passage. Hmm. And I'm just so proud that I got to cross over that bridge today.
Hmm.
All right. Our next segment.
Does anyone else?
No!
Okay. In this segment, we just say,
does anyone else? And then we talk about it.
True. Just things that we're not necessarily proud of as parents. And we just want you, dear listeners, to say, yeah, I do that too, so that we feel better about ourselves.
I mean, I hate to just like be contrarian here, but I disagree that that is what this segment is about.
Oh, what's it about?
I agree that that's part of it, mm-hmm. but I also think it's kind of, you know, we're just basically giving people insight into our brain in kind of an unfiltered way in this segment. And we're just wondering, yeah, you know, does anyone else feel this way that might be a little silly? You know what I mean?
All right, go for it.
All right, anyway. Okay. This is both birthday parties, playgrounds, just any time where you've got a little guy, little girl with you. And there's bigger kids around.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our guy is, as we said, 21 months. Now, he's a big dude. Like, he can definitely hold his own.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're on a playground, when you're at a birthday party, like, there's other kids around who are, like, 4, 5, 6, that kind of thing. Like, definitely bigger.
For sure.
So, you know, and I used to be one of those little boys, mischievous little boy. And you're always testing boundaries. So, you know, in this instance, there's like one kid at the playground or something who's kind of like not being bad, but he's definitely like getting into our son's space, kind of.
Okay.
And it might be that they're like kind of pressure him to go down the slide faster than he wants to go down, or maybe they're just kind of like hovering a little too much. You know what I'm saying? So here's the, does anyone else kind of get in between your child and this other child? Now, here's why this might be a weird situation.
Tell us.
When you go to the playground, for instance, I don't really have that thing where like I feel embarrassed about things. So like I will get on the playground and be the only adult like up on the slide with my child. Now I've read a lot of things that says you are not supposed to necessarily do that.
Oh really? Why?
Because you want your kid to like have independence and like kind of figure things out for themselves.
Okay.
But you know, if you're on the playground, there's like a bigger kid there. And when I say bigger kid, again, I'm talking about a 3 or 4 year old.
Right.
So I just feel like I got to be his backup. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so
don't mess with him.
So sometimes I do, you know, here's also the former teacher in me. I do kind of give an aggressive mean mug to like,
are you serious?
To that 3, 4 or 5 year old.
And when
I say that, it's nothing with my, you know, nothing with nose down. It's just eyes only. But it is, I do give them an intense stare. And it is very much, you know, designed to basically intimidate them out of, you know, like basically hovering around my child's space.
Wow.
So that is the,
you
does anyone else?
First. Brian is intimidating 3-year-olds.
Basically,
at the playground.
Do you as an adult have to sometimes kind of out bully the 3 to 5 year old bullies?
Oh my goodness.
And so, you know, I'm just saying, does anyone else?
Let us know if you do. Today I saw you grab another kid's foot.
What?
Yeah. At the birthday party, they were climbing the little like,
oh, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking
toy
about.
Toy structure, and they were just like climbing, and I guess you thought that their foot was going to hit our child's head.
Okay, well,
you grabbed their foot. And
no, that is not what happened.
That's what happened.
That is not what happened.
From my point of view, and another parent standing there was mean mugging you. And if you had watched another parent grab your child's foot, oh boy.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up. I was leaving out some details, but I'm happy to discuss those details. So what actually happened was the little boy was watching our child eating, and as little mischievous boys sometimes do, he kept swinging his foot, and it was getting closer and closer to our son's face each time. And that was the game for this little boy, is let's see how close I can get my foot to this child's face. So I'm seeing this and from the other side of the yard, and I walk over and I very simply mean mug the child, of course, as I've been known to do. And pretty quickly it stopped from there. But then at that point, what I did is I put my hand out in front of our son's head and face.
Got it.
And so it may have looked like I grabbed the kid's foot, but I did not touch this child. No. I would never, ever, ever even consider putting my hand on another person's child in any way at all whatsoever.
I see.
But that doesn't mean that I won't put my hand up in a space to prevent you from kicking my child in the face. And, you know, what am I supposed to do in that situation? Just let my child get kicked in the face? Because then I got to fuck a bitch up. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Then I'm going to push a three-year-old off the slide.
Okay. Thanks for that. I was going to say confession, but I guess not so much. Just look into your
unfiltered
parenting style.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate everyone's feedback there. You know, don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm coming to y'all.
No, just,
this
free.
Is a safe space.
Of
you know,
course.
So. All right. Do you have any confessions or otherwise?
Well, actually, I have a Does Anyone Else? And I have a confession.
Oh,
so we'll
a doozy,
have to do that
a twofer.
Later. Yeah. So the Does Anyone Else is... You know, now we're definitely locked and loaded safely into the toddler tantrum era. We're in our tantrum era.
Spoken like a true American. We're locked and loaded.
And I thought you were going to say true American because I'm quoting Taylor Swift.
Well, that's just your everyday.
That's anyone. We're in our tantrum era. So tantrums are hard on me. And I guess my question is, does anyone else have a hard time just like getting over it as quickly as your toddler does?
Or like, I see what you're saying, like a recovery period.
So for example, when there is a tantrum like there was today about not wanting to put a shirt on, we're getting ready for this birthday party, just absolutely he would not let me put a shirt on. I
screaming.
Tried one, screaming, wants it off. Okay, we take it off. Then I try to put a different one on. No, absolutely not. So now it's okay, we'll just get in the car without a shirt and we'll try when we get there.
Or socks.
So then, right. Screaming, just such a blowout, complete, emotionally draining time getting ready and in the car. We're already 22 minutes late.
Also, I just want to quickly say, dads, you know what's going on with the dads. Dads are just like, here we go. But, you know, then you're like, all right, yeah, we're having fun. Everybody's having fun. You know, your wife's literally hanging out the window. Your
so,
son's
screaming in the car. It's just not good. Okay. Now, toddlers, as they be known to do, they get over it quickly.
Oh, yeah. He saw like a ball in the car. He was over it.
Over it. Or we drove by a truck.
Oh,
truck!
Yeah. That's what it was. You're right.
Now he's laughing and he's fine. I'm not, though. I'm still damaged from that time. And I'm sitting there like, this guy is just going to act like everything's fine. And like, we didn't just have this whole episode and I'm just supposed to go along with it. No, I need time to come down from that. And you don't really get that. So does anyone else feel like they don't move as quickly emotionally as their toddler does?
Like transitioning from one emotional state to another?
Yeah.
No, just kidding. Of course. I mean, that's really hard, especially like, you know, those times where he's really losing it and then he'll go down for a nap or something like that. Those mm-hmm. are the times where we both right after that, we'll sit down and be like, whew.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
Parent confessions.
Well, that kind of really makes me anxious to hear your parenting confession.
All right, here we go. And I hope you have one too.
I don't. So I'm looking forward to this. It better be really good. There better be like multiple concussions
you
or something.
You never do. No. So today my mom is visiting in town, my child's wonderful Nana. And we took a walk to the park, and I think you did some yard work or something. You stayed back.
Correct,
my
yeah.
point. And we had a lovely walk. We went to the playground. It was so much fun. And he's really taken an interest in rocks. He says, a rock.
So true. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I obviously, that's like every little kid has that, but that is yeah. the phase that he's going through.
Right.
And there's like, we have a couple, like just around our house, you know, there'll be a little section where there's like a couple rocks. And man, he yeah. just loves going over there.
Right. And he goes, a rock, a rock. And then he likes sticks too. So on the walk to the stroller or whatever, he's picking up sticks, stick, and saying stick. It's very fun. So I put him in the stroller, and he had collected like a few rocks and sticks at the playground. So for our walk back, he was just hanging on to them. And he was really quiet in the stroller the whole walk back. And it's a pretty long, you know, 20 plus minutes. And we get back, and I like look, you know, because I'm checking a few times, like I'll pull back the stroller and just make sure everything's cool as we're walking from the back of his head. But
also at the same time, like a lot of, you know, a lot of times we'll be walking with him and he's quiet, and
yeah.
we don't want to really,
yeah,
we don't want to get in
beast.
Front. Yeah. Cause yes. like it's kind of working.
If it's quiet, if it ain't broke, right. If he's quiet, leave it. So that's kind of what we're doing. My mom and I were chatting, and we get back, and I go to get him out of the stroller, and he has this like giant stick in his hand that he's just been gnawing on.
Oh no.
Like this whole time. And the stick
That's pretty dangerous,
the
actually.
The stick is drenched with slobber.
That's very dangerous.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you about it. Okay?
Oh my God.
I didn't feel great about it, but,
well, like he could straight. Okay. First of all, like people be taking, you know, I happen to know this, but people be taking their pets to the veterinarian
yeah.
because they're eating sharp stuff like that.
I know. Ugh. He hasn't really done that before.
Well, I can assure you he won't be doing it again.
Yeah. So then I take the slobbery stick out of his hand and mouth and came in, and we did a very thorough teeth brush.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, you don't want to get cavities from those sticks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, hey, well, I look forward to not having to change that splintery diaper.
Ouch. All right. What's your confession, Bri?
I don't really have one. Jeez. I took care of him and didn't let him eat any sticks this week.
I guess you're the better parent.
Okay. I got one. Ready?
Yes.
So only our dearest Popcommers may be aware of this, but a few weekends ago, dear Allison went to the Eras Tour in Nashville.
Wow.
And it was a weekend Swiftie extravaganza for you.
Yes.
So that meant for our son and I, it was boys weekend.
Boys time.
And, you know, as I do, I like to really consider what media and content I'm putting in front of him.
Here we go.
So, you know, that was, I'll say, his first time playing a video game.
Wow.
Pretty exciting
what
stuff.
What did he play?
Well, okay, so it's hard because, like, you know, I'm an adult, so I don't really play games for, like, really little kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, Fortnite and stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, yeah, you only play
it's
the video
be,
games that are for adults.
I was going to say, it's got,
you know.
It's like, I'm like a 12 and up guy.
Okay,
so,
12-year-old games, got it. Got
anyway, so, yeah, so I didn't really have anything for him to play, so I had to like load up, you know, like a shooting game or something like
oh
that.
Oh my God!
But he's not shooting in it. I was
you
just having him run around.
Play a shooter
no,
game?
No. He there was no guns in
where
sight.
You're like blowing off people's heads and literal blood is spurting out of them.
What game have you ever seen
I've
me
seen
play?
Tons of those.
Where someone's blood is spurting out of their neck
like,
hole?
The Grand Theft Auto.
I don't
that
know
is very
if
violent.
Blood spreading.
Yes,
okay.
There is.
Fair enough. But
or
I was
like those
not,
other zombie games you play sometimes.
Like, well, can you name one by any chance?
Zombie Mania, Zombie Town.
That's right.
Zombie
anyway,
Village. Zombation.
He was enjoying it. I got to say, just the act of running around.
Oh my God, of shooting people.
It was not shooting. There was no shooting. It
but
was
it was
literally
a shooting game.
It was like a tutorial level.
So the guy running around had
there's
like
no
a,
gun. He didn't even have a gun in his hand. He's literally all he could do is run back and forth and jump. Anyway, then
wow, this is the worst confession we've had in the history of probably okay parenting.
I don't think so. He's going to be like desensitized to violence. So
yeah.
Then I then you know, later on, we were only playing for a couple minutes and Later on, I was reflecting on that. I'm like, damn, I really need to like download something that he, that might be a little more age appropriate.
A little.
So then I downloaded Fall Guys, which I'm not sure, you know, some of our listeners might be familiar with Fall Guys, but basically mm-hmm. it's a little more his wavelength. And then the next day we went down to play that. Oh man, he had such a fun time.
So did he understand that like the movements on the controller?
Oh, so this is what's crazy. So he was sitting in my lap, kind of watching me like press the buttons on the controller.
Yeah.
And the TV's on, but he's not connecting these two things on that first day.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really looking much at the TV, or he'll look at the TV and then he'll look at the controller, but there's no correlation.
Yeah.
The next day when we were playing Fall Guys, he kind of saw like when I was hitting a button, it would do something on screen. Mm. Okay. Now fast forward to like 2 weeks later.
So you've been playing video games with him frequently is what you're saying.
Let's just say
I don't want our child to look at screens.
When I get up,
he doesn't need to watch TV. He can read literature.
That is true, in Latin only. But when I get up with him, you know, sometimes like, okay, good example. I got like plant lights. I got like a routine. I got to go turn some plant lights on, you know, whatever. So we'll go downstairs and to do that. And since the controller's just like out nowadays, he'll just run over there and grab it. So anyway, we're fast forwarding 2 weeks. So this is like most recently, like one day this past week. We go down there. I put it on. He grabs the controller. And now only on his third time mm-hmm. ever doing this, mm-hmm. he's moving the like character forward and back and jumping with purpose. Isn't that wild?
Very upsetting.
Why is that upsetting?
He's a gamer.
Well,
you're
he's
turning
definitely
him
a gamer.
Into a gamer.
He doesn't have a choice about that. But just
no,
the
I'm
hand
not trying to have some gamer bro son.
The hand-eye coordination is unreal.
Wow.
Pretty exciting. Not really a parenting confession. Nothing that I did to him is going to lead to him choking to death, but on a piece of wood from nature.
Collecting guns and, like you said, desensitization to violence. That's great.
Well, I don't think jumping up and down in like a jungle is going to desensitize him to violence.
I guess we'll find out. Should we head into Hilo Weird?
Let's.
Hilo
Weird.
All right. So let us begin our Hilo Weird this week with a weird.
Okay. My weird is just that our son has started really loving to help clean up, which is awesome.
Yeah, how is that weird?
Well, I will tell you, my friend, because sometimes he will be a little overzealous with throwing things in the trash or putting things in places where he thinks that they go. And if you're not watching him literally every second, which I feel like we watch him, but you know, sometimes
you can't have your eyes on him every second.
Yeah, run into the next room for a second or whatever. Yeah, there's not every second do we have eyes on him. He quickly grabs something and puts it in the trash. And I've caught him doing this a few times, but also I think there have been a few times I haven't caught him because there are some important items that I cannot find and I've looked everywhere. And I think the only explanation is that he threw him in the trash and I took the trash out without realizing.
I mean, I'm not trying to do my low early here because I know we said we'd start with weirds, but my low is that you keep using our son as a scapegoat for losing all your shit.
It is.
You're like, I can't find my headphones. I know he threw them out.
He threw them out because I've turned this house upside down looking everywhere for them.
The other thing
That's
is sometimes
the only explanation that makes any sense.
Our trash lid closes kind of slowly.
Yes.
So like sometimes we'll just come in the room and mm-hmm. we'll see him like running away from the trash can and the lid slowly closing and it's like oh god, and it's like of course right before trash day, so like the trash is really high, like
but
it's not
good.
Like we
then
can dig through
open
it
up and be like oh it was this.
No, I'm saying the opposite because like for headphones it'll like fall down to the bottom of the trash can. It's like well I guess we're not gonna get that.
No, if I see I'm digging through.
Well sure, but
the times I don't see. So that's my weird. I mean, it's good because the cleanup, he says clean up and he wants to help, which is very sweet, but not always great. What's your weird, Bri?
Okay. Here's my weird one. It's so beautiful and cute. So, but just the context makes it weird. So, our son learned to hug and he actually learned to hug like at daycare. So very often at the end of the day, there's three other kids at the daycare. So he'll like each kid, I won't name them, but I'll just say he goes through and he's like, you know, kid A, hug, hug, hug. They give a hug, etc. So lately he's been like doing that a lot, not necessarily to like people he knows. Like when we're at this party earlier, he puts his arms out for a hug and right. then the person's like, oh, that's so nice. He actually did this too to your mom.
Right.
And then they like go in and he's like, no.
He changes his mind at the last second.
But it's
but
like,
he initiates it.
He initiates. Yeah. And it's so sweet. And it like puts the person in this kind of like vulnerable position because they're like, oh my God, that's so sweet. And like they kind of then go in for the hug. But then,
and then
he just
rejects them.
He denies them at the last second.
True, true. That is
so
weird.
It's just like, why are you doing this? And what was it that made you feel comfortable enough to give them a hug or like attempt the hug in the first place? And then what happened that you're like, you know what? Never mind. On second thought.
Right. And it's not like he doesn't know what that means because
he definitely knows what it means.
He knows. So
that, and especially
that
like with his
good
Nana,
one.
Like he knows his Nana. So it's like, why are you playing this weird game, dude?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good one.
That's my weird.
All right. You already said you're low. So should I say mine?
Sure. That wasn't my low, but okay. Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't my real low.
Fake out low.
Fake out. Fake out.
All right. Mine is really a high disguised as a low because, you know, with this guy, it's mostly highs. So previous podcasts, I have mentioned like, he doesn't like to read. He hates books. He's never going to like to read because, you know, in the way that an anxious parent would take behavior at 14 months and just assume that that's going to be consistent for the rest of his life. So I will say that we've done a complete 180 on that. And now he loves books all of a sudden,
yeah,
which is
that's true.
Such a joy. But I guess my low would be the fact that he picks the most freaking boring, worst
oh,
books
God, yeah.
of his collection that he wants me to read over and over again.
Actually,
more. He only picks the boring, horrible ones.
You know what is actually a dope book though that he does want us to read is it's, I think it's called The Little Blue Truck.
Yeah.
That book is actually really good.
That's a good one. You're right. But I'm talking about Happy Easter Mouse.
That book sucks.
I want to chuck it out the window. I'm talking about More, More, More. That
more,
one.
More, More. I don't
more,
even
more
get what's
trash.
Happening.
I need
in
to hide
more,
that.
More, More, it's like, yeah, that author, I'm not sure what was going on in
it's
their mind
so
at the time.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Happy Easter Mouse has no point. It's awful. And there was another
I don't
one.
Agree with that it's... I don't agree that it's pointless.
It is.
I
You're
think
wrong.
The point is more or less just to like acknowledge Easter, but I agree that it is quite bad.
It's truly terrible. And
the one that really pisses me off is that fucking, what is it? Dog and
oh
bear.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Dog and bear. Dog changes his name.
Oh
You're
my
right.
God.
That's another
it
one
is
he wants.
So annoying.
That's
that
bad.
One is really annoying.
But also Brian, you one time, were like acting surprised because one of those books I was just holding up facing him like I was behind it, but I was just saying you reading it, but I wasn't looking at the pages, but I was saying exactly what's on the page and turning it.
Oh,
and you
yeah,
were like
yeah.
Oh my gosh, how do you know?
It's yeah,
like,
have you been rehearsing
how
this?
Do you not know all the words? Are you kidding me? Of course we know.
I think that was Mubah La La La.
Yeah, and that one's actually okay. But
yeah,
I, you're right, I can't do that one by heart.
Actually I only have one beef with that book.
Okay,
actually that's kind of a funny pun because you know, like
yep,
a cow.
Yep, got it.
Anyway, so moo, right? The fucking,
cow.
The sheep
the
says
sheep
moo.
The sheep says moo. Okay.
That's
yep.
my law of the week. No, a cow says moo.
Yep.
A sheep says ba.
Yep.
Three singing pigs say
la, la, la.
No, they actually say. Do you know what I'm saying? Pigs don't really say la, la,
no,
la.
No, but singing pigs. That's the
maybe
point.
Maybe
they'd
be like. Something like that. You know what I mean? There's got to be.
You should probably write a letter to the editor.
Okay.
And just tell them that you, Karen, have a big problem with this book.
All right. Here's
all right,
my low of the week. I'm really sorry to get everybody onto a really dark topic here for
here
a second. But
oh, like introducing our one-year-old to shooter games? Darker than that?
Yes, actually, unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
And it's kind of in relation to our sticky sitch that we were talking about last time as well.
Okay.
But I've been seeing a lot of news lately that's just deeply unsettling about like abuse and all this kind of stuff going
oh boy.
On and abandonment and stuff. And it's very upsetting. So without going into any further details on that stuff, I'll just say in general, I'm going to turn my low into a, I'm going to get on a soapbox here for a second and say,
okay.
I think that it is really important to be vocal, even if you have a bad feeling. So I can't remember what I was saying about the sticky sitch. I think I was saying she should say something
okay.
to the mom. I mean, I would definitely would. I'm going full. Oh, you got to say something to the parent.
Listener Heather, are you
like
listening?
I have definitely met those parents more so when I was a teacher that you like just meet. Yeah, obviously you're dealing with so many kids and you meet the parents and you have a bad feeling.
You just don't feel right.
Something doesn't feel right. And you're like, I don't even know who I would tell about this.
Right.
There's no excuse. You got to figure it out. Like, I don't know. And I guess I'm thinking of one story in particular that was really bad. I'm not sure if I won't specifically reference it, but I'll just say two just like kind of normal everyday looking people, you know, just regular jobs type people. And it was like a horrible, horrible story. They were the parents doing this awful thing. But yeah, just one of those things like no one is immune, or I don't know if that's the right word, but it's happening a lot more, I think, than people realize. Issues of abandonment, issues of abuse, and yeah, just one of those things that I think like we all probably could be a lot more cautious about and a lot more vocal about when we have those weird feelings, especially when we're going to the playground, especially when we're going to the library, all that kind of stuff. So
you're saying like to the parent at the playground?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe to the parent or maybe to other parents that are at the playground or, you know, like basically don't be embarrassed if you see some shit that you don't really like or that you might, that might rub you the wrong way. You know, if you end up like calling the police or you call DCFS or like some crazy thing like that and it turns out it's okay, great. That's awesome. I'm glad it turns out okay. But yeah, just basically acknowledge and give some extra credence to those odd feelings. And you know, of course, I'm not trying to end on a weird note here. But yeah, I feel like I've just been seeing a lot of those stories like more so than usual lately.
Where are you seeing it?
You know, they have these crazy things called newspapers. So I sometimes check those out. But anyway,
well, thanks for that reminder. That is a good reminder.
Yeah, trying to turn a low into something slightly positive, you know, just so like call to action, if you will. Anyway, all right, let's end this.
Yes.
Season 2 premiere on a high.
You want to go?
No.
All right. So our son has become obsessed with the song "We Will Rock You" by the band Queen.
And is that who it's by?
He constantly requests it by saying, we will, or more, we will. And he is lucky that his dad is such a talented musician that can perform any song ever on command. So his dad has been performing it for him on the piano. And I was home alone with him the other day, and he goes, climbs up on the piano bench and starts pressing the keys and looks at me and goes, "We will," and starts pressing the keys again. And then is frustrated that the piano keys he's pressing are not producing the "We Will Rock You" melody. And I was just so impressed that he, one, knew to like go to the piano to make this song happen. And two, like, I'm trying, but what I want to be coming out of the piano isn't. So like, can you help me, Mom? Because I really want to hear this song, but I'm not able to make it happen myself. That was just so cool that he was able to realize all that. And then I held his hand in my hand and we played it, and he instantly was happy because he realized like, oh, this is it. This is my jam. So that was so cool. Definite high.
That's awesome.
Go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say about dancing, like, it's so interesting to see him be responsive to different styles of music. And for me, the high definitely in the last like week or two is when something comes on that's maybe slower or it's not really super amenable to dancing, and then it'll go to like a Stevie Wonder song or like Latin music or something like that, and then he immediately starts like shaking his hips and doing a little dance. And it just, it's so funny to see that kind of independent reaction to these things now. But yeah, I think just in general, I have to say just more existential high, like life's really good right now, just in general, you know, like he's healthy, he's active. He seems very happy and confident, and just like going into summer, it's just a really good place I think we're at right now, and hope that continues.
It will continue as long as we keep everything the same, keep the crib, keep the diapers, nothing changes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening, listeners, DFPs. Thanks for sticking around. Season 2 going to be bigger and better.
Oh, yeah. And we have a couple special guests joining us.
That's true. We do.
We've got got, let me just say, somebody whose movie is actually coming out pretty soon with Robert De Niro going to be joining us on the podcast.
Wow.
World-famous comedian Sebastian Maniscalco.
Oh, we're name-dropping now.
I figure, why not?
The name of the game in our podcast is Overpromise, Underdeliver. I think that's pretty consistent with our year and a half of doing this.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, so DFPs, we'll see you next time, live from Saturn.
What? And if you want your child to stay in diapers until they're 65 years old, just in time for them to get back into diapers.
If your child chewed on a stick for 20 minutes and you didn't tell your partner until you were recording a podcast.
Until you were literally picking shards of wood out of his teeth.
Yep.
It's probably okay.